Anchored in Jesus Ministries is sponsoring A Trip to See Jesus, a musical stage adventure at Sight and Sound Theater. This will be a one-day trip, July 27th, 2018. The proceeds will benefit Anchored in Jesus Ministries. For more information, go to our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org. Again, www.anchoredinjesus.org.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series titled, In the Desert with the Father. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Desert of Discouragement.
All right. We have been in a series, and the title of the series is In the Desert with the Father. And we've covered a couple areas of this desert. And now we want to come to an area that I'm sure affects just about everybody in here. And some of us, it affects on a daily basis. And that is, we want to join the Father as He walks with us in the desert of discouragement. The desert of discouragement. As we open up our message today, I want to give you, as I've done a couple times, a little quiz. And in this quiz, if we go to the next slide, in the quiz, we want you to figure out, and I'm sure you, those of you who are Bible scholars, will have no problem figuring out who we're talking about. But God promised that He would give us a certain land. We went to spy it out and brought back a report to the leaders. It was very, very, very discouraging because we were the only ones who believed we could take the land promised to us by the Lord. Who is that? Joshua and Caleb. All right, these brothers got discouraged. Can you imagine what that must have been like? That they went and they saw that God had promised that they could take the promised land, and then they go and there's 10 other guys that come back and they give a negative report. And Joshua and Caleb were excited. They were on fire. But the 10, their voice was heard in Joshua and Caleb. No doubt had to get discouraged because they were voted down. We had gone on a battle to fight against our enemy. When we came back to the place we were staying, we were discouraged to find that the city had been burned and our wives and children taken captive. Was that? All right. Only a couple of y'all knew that one, right? All right, David. Remember at Ziklag, David and his men went to fight, I believe it was the Amalekites. And as they went and fought and came back, they came back to the city and their city was burned and their children and their wives were taken. And the men were very discouraged. And even to the point, oh, watch this now, that they thought about stoning David. They were going to kill their leader. My goodness. Not only were all of them discouraged, not only was David discouraged, but now his men are talking about killing him. And you know what it said about David? That David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. Sometimes when all others flee and forsake you, the only one that you have left to encourage, which is the one you should have turned to in the first place, and that is the Lord. We were living in a foreign land and very discouraged to find out there was a plan to kill all the people of Jewish descent. You know who that was? Esther and Mordecai. Amen. Y'all a little weak. It was pretty strong up front here. Pretty strong up front. All right. Esther and Mordecai. Right? That, see, we're gonna go through a thing next year as a church where we're going to read through the Bible together. those of you, I know some of you have your own plan, but read through the Bible together so that we can get grounded. And many of you and many of us are grounded, but we're going to take it a step deeper and get a deeper grounding, all right? My heart became very discouraged when I lost my family, my possessions, and my health. Job, all right, that was good. That was good. We had a lot of fire behind that one right there. Amen. All right, that was Job. So we see in the Bible that these are individuals, notice what I said, who passed the discouragement test. Because we could go and see many people that failed. And so I hope that if they put, or if I was to put your situation up there, oh, hallelujah, that it would be said like these, that you passed the discouragement test. What is discouragement? What is discouragement? And, oh, no, that's not discouragement. What is discouragement? I'm going to go back to that. I'm going back to that, right? I just want to wake y'all up. Right, not that you were asleep. What is discouragement? Proverbs 15:13 gives us an accurate description of discouragement. It says, by sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. By sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. This means that some event, offense has been committed, which causes the heart to become sorrowful and in turn brings about a broken spirit, a loss of enthusiasm. You're losing your spirit, losing your heart, losing your courage. That discouragement means that the air has been let out of you, that your bubble has been burst. Go back to that picture before. All right. Colonel Sanders, right? He was retired. And he was sitting at home. And he was collecting Social Security checks. And right before he went to pick up one of his checks, he thought to himself, man, is this the rest of my life? Just going and picking up these Social Security checks. And so he became very discouraged, according to his testimony. Very discouraged. And he had an idea. He began to write down his gifts and write down all the things that he was good at and all the things that he could do. And he remembered that there was one thing that he had that nobody else had. And that was, he had his mother's secret recipe that had, anybody know how many ingredients? Oh, man, y'all know that better than you do the Bible. No, just kidding. 11 ingredients. 11 ingredients. And he took it and he went down to one of the local stores. And he asked them, could he just start frying chicken and selling it? And so they opened up a counter. He started frying chicken and he was selling it. And the people loved the chicken. And so he branched out after that and opened up his first restaurant. And we know that the rest is history. And it all came about, watch this now, because he was discouraged. He was discouraged. And so we see that discouragement can actually lead to some positive things. And so we want to look at discouragement this morning and see how we handle it and how we process it and that we process it in a way that we can glorify the Lord. Okay, if you'll go on. I saw this quote I thought was very interesting, and I wanted to include it in the message today. But it's by William Ward, and he says this about discouragement. And I thought about what the reason I put this up there, because it shows us sometimes that when we go through a time of discouragement, how blind we can be to everything else. And we just focus inwardly on ourselves. We just focus on the fact that we're discouraged, and that's all that we see. Discouragement is dissatisfaction with the past, distaste for the present, and distrust of the future. It is ingratitude for the blessings of yesterday, indifference to the opportunities of today, and insecurity regarding strength for tomorrow. See, discouragement is a past, present, future reflection. It is an unawareness of the present of beauty. Unconcern for the needs of our fellow man and unbelief in promises of old. It is impatient with time, immaturity of thought, and impoliteness to God. Wow, that's deep. When you think about discouragement and the effect that it has on our lives, let's look at some characteristics of discouragement. First of all, we see that discouragement is universal. Charles Stanley says these are some of the characteristics of discouragement. It is universal. It is reoccurring. It is contagious. It is unpredictable. And we pray that in most cases that it is temporary. But some people let it linger on, and we see it a little bit, that can actually turn into depression. If you don't deal with your discouragement in a timely and godly way, it can turn into depression. It's universal. It touches everybody. Everybody gets discouraged. I don't know about you, but I have a confession to make. I probably get discouraged at least 4 or 5 times a week. I don't know about you. I mean, maybe you're godly, man, and you know, you handle it and you breeze through things, but I know at least 5 times a week something comes across my path that causes me to be discouraged. And so it's universal. You know, it's like the lady who went to her son. And she said, "Son, get up. It's time to go to church." He said, "But I don't want to go to church." She said, "Son, you better get up out of that bed and go to church." He said, "But Mom, I don't want to go to church." She said, "You need to get up." He said, "Give me 2 reasons why I should get up." She said, "The first reason, you're 42 years old. And the second reason, you're the pastor of the church." Discouragement. Discouragement is universal. Touches all of us. I don't care who you are. Things come our way that cause us. And let me move, because I can say some things a little bit later. It's reoccurring. Don't think that because, you know, it's not like the chicken pox, right? You get it and you're not going to get it again. See, even, you know, good illustration, you know, those of us, some people end up with shingles later on in life, right? So it's reoccurring. Discouragement is reoccurring. It'll occur over and over and over again, which if you don't deal with it, it can become contagious. That if you hang around discouraging people and all the day long they are discouraged. You ever see the Flintstones? I remember growing up watching the Flintstones, Yabba Dabba Do Time. And there was a character on the Flintstones. His name was Schleprock. Y'all remember him? Schleprock. And everywhere he walked, there was a cloud over his head, and it was raining. No matter what, the rest of the world could have been bright and alive. But wherever he went, this cloud was over his head, and rain came down. And if you don't watch it, you know, there are people in our lives that can cause us to go in states of depression. That's why I like to be around upbeat and positive people. You know, I mean, you have to be around all people at certain times, but it's good to be around upbeat people because they kind of get contagious. You know, there's a guy, every Sunday they're taping, and we come on a television network right now. This is being recorded and will be played on television for the Faith and Family Network here in Pittsburgh, so that people who have certain cable channels can pick up this service. That's why, you know, we got the thing in the back so that people don't walk down the aisle and get in the way of the camera. That's why, you know, we got this little cloth up here because there was a reflection on the camera. So, you know, we're on this this station. And I remember the guy when he came to me and he wanted to talk to me about being on the Faith and Family Network. And he used to play for the Cleveland Indians, you know, as he came. And this brother, he came, and he had the biggest smile on his face. Amen, brother. And man, he shook my hand, and the whole time he was upbeat and he was positive. I said, man, even now we're on there for free, right? I said, even if this guy was charging, I would have signed up with him. Because he just had such a positive and encouraging spirit. And every time I see him, he comes up and gives me a big hug and encourages me and says, man, your program, I just enjoy watching your program. It goes on and on. That's the kind of people you like to be around. Because they keep you up. They keep you upbeat. But then there are people who are always down and they begin to drain and drag on your spirit. And so if you don't watch it, discouragement can be contagious. Discouragement is unpredictable. I was reading about a former heavyweight boxing champ. His name was James Quick Tillis. And he was from Oklahoma. And he went to Chicago. And he got off the bus in Chicago. He put his suitcase down. And he looked up. And he said, I'm here to conquer Chicago. And he looked back down, and the suitcase was gone. It's unpredictable. You know, here he was proclaiming the fact that he was coming to take over Chicago. And just that quick, his suitcase was gone. It's unpredictable. It'll come on you. Have you ever been in a situation and things were moving along and all of a sudden something happened? How in the world did that happen? Where did that come from? And so it's unpredictable. It'll just come on you in a moment's notice, without a moment's notice. And then it's temporary. If you deal with it correctly, it's temporary. Next slide. What are some causes of discouragement? Some causes of discouragement. So as I'm going through this, you may put up your hand and say, amen, I can identify with that one. Criticism. That when people criticize others, that can be very discouraging. That can take the wind out of your sail. And so, saints, that's why we have to watch what we say to others. We have to watch what we say to young people. You know, I think about people who have been offended because of remarks that were made from another individual. And I can go back because I'm the pastor, and I get a lot of this stuff. I mean, I get a whole lot of it, of people who have been offended, and they come to me, and they tell me the nature of the offense. And a lot of times it's been because somebody said something that was critical and discouraged them. Maybe they were leading a ministry and somebody came and said something about the ministry or said something that was negative and it was discouraging. Maybe they were doing something for the Lord and somebody had a different idea about doing it and they came and they tore it down. They were critical. And people became discouraged. You know, even in your own family, people may have been critical about something that caused you to become discouraged. Resistance. When you are moving out on something that you feel very good about, you feel very positive about it, and then all of a sudden you get resistance. All of a sudden somebody steps in your way and takes your heart out of it. Resistance. That can, man, I tell you what, nothing to me, causes discouragement quicker than for you to be excited about something and then to be resistant. You know, I was sharing with the people on Wednesday that when I was in seminary studying to be a pastor, I came home one evening and my wife had candle-lit dinner all laid out. And she was all looking nice and smelling nice. And she was all excited, you know. I came home and, you know, I sat down and I ate. And she was all, man, she was just positive about this thing, man. And then I said, you know, I'm going bowling with the fellas. Young men, let me tell you, all right? Whatever plans that you got, you need to change them. Whatever plans you got, you need to change them. I tell you what, that was, you know, that was very discouraging. You know, you plan something and all of a sudden you get resistance. Overwhelming circumstances, that when people are overwhelmed by a situation, that you can get very discouraged. I've shared with you on many occasions, and the reason I share with you, because this is one of the things that causes me to be discouraged more than anything else. And it's happened at my house a couple of times. And that is because I got trees in my yard with roots, and the roots grow into the sewer line. And you know what I'm getting ready to say. You get back up in your basement. And then you go down there, and you got your stuff down there, and you got all this sewage. That is, man, you go down there, no matter what you were doing before you went down there. I mean, you could have came off the greatest experience of your life. And then you go down there. Man, it's so overwhelming. Circumstances, disappointments in life, when we are disappointed, that causes us to be discouraged. Lack of success, that when you don't have success at something, it's very easy to get discouraged. You remember the disciples, they were out on the boat all night fishing, and they didn't catch a thing. They didn't catch anything. And Jesus came to them and he said, fellas, let your nets down into the water. Peter, right? Guy's discouraged. He says, look here, man. We have fished all night and we have not had any success. None whatsoever. He said, nevertheless. I mean, I don't think that, you know, Peter is saying this with a lot of faith. This is in my sanctified exegesis of the passage. You know, I don't think that he's saying that, you know, nevertheless. You know, I mean, so, okay, man, if you say so. If you say, well, why did Peter even make that statement? Because he had not had any success. We have fished all night and caught nothing. Man, we pulled the nets in. We're ready to go home because there's nothing happening here. He was discouraged because of the lack of success. And then, oh, here goes one right here. People get discouraged because of a lack of appreciation, right? Oh, they didn't recognize me. I did such and such a thing. They didn't call, they left my name out of the program.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Desert of Discouragement from our series, In the Desert with the Father. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Desert of Discouragement, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Desert of Discouragement. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Desert of Discouragement, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.